This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Dr. Mike Evans, longtime expert on Israeli and Middle Eastern foreign policy, an advisor of many Israeli politicians, including the current Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He's also the author of several books, the most recent of which is Atomic Iran, Countdown to Armageddon, How the West Can Be Saved. And Dr. Evans, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here. I'm not actually an advisor to BB. I've known him for 28 years. I recommended him for his first appointment, and I'm one of his closest friends.
And so he obviously is in the crux of this situation right now about how to confront in Iran with nuclear ambitions. Let's just talk about a couple things that have happened this week, Dr. Evans, before we get to the thrust of the book. Number one, we've talked before about how Iran is very good at ducking, dodging, and delaying a confrontation about its nuclear program. This week, we saw that they have charged the three American hikers with espionage. What do you expect to happen here? Is this just a way to shift the focus for a few months until this is resolved and they can get a little bit further down the road?
Well, they're doing that. In fact, they're stalling for time. They're using anything they can use to stall for time, and it's working. We're not holding them accountable. Listen, I was with the Marines on October 23rd, 1983. 241 of them were blown up by Iranian Hezbollah agents. I was on the beachhead. I talked to the kids the night before they were killed. We did nothing. We did absolutely nothing. Iran's testing our tolerance for terror, and we're failing the test.
Another issue that we saw this week is that Mahmoud Abbas, the leader of the Palestinian Authority, really the West Bank Palestinians, saying he doesn't plan to stay on as president anymore. Some say he's lost political leverage because he's talked with Netanyahu without getting a freeze on settlements and so forth. Others say he's just lost the Palestinian people. How significant is it that Abbas won't be on the scene much longer?
Very significant because basically what's happening is Iran's taken over. Iran has taken over Gaza. We forced Israel to give up Gaza. It's become an Iranian base now, Hamas. And then you've got Iranian Hezbollah. Israel just captured a shipload of Iranian rockets headed for Hezbollah and Hamas. And basically Hamas is pushing its way into Ramallah, and Abbas wants to go on vacation.
Dr. Evans, another thing we saw this week, we've already talked about him a little bit, the Prime Minister Netanyahu, a meeting here in Washington this week with the president, but it happened at night, no cameras, no microphones, very under the radar. What do you make of that, and how would you describe the relationship between the Prime Minister and President Obama?
Listen, Hillary hates Bibi Netanyahu. The Clintons canceled two of his meetings when he was prime minister last time. I know. I was there. I was in Washington covering him at the White House. Hillary doesn't care for him, and neither does Obama. Obama was trying to squirm out of it. Obama was supposed to speak with him at a conference. He sent Rahm Emanuel instead, and Obama was trying to keep from meeting him. It was a way of punishing him. He was sending a signal to Bibi Netanyahu that there's a new sheriff in town, and I don't like you, and you better comply with my desires. The holy grail of understanding is Obama is no friend to Israel. The lowest polls in the entire world are in the state of Israel. Less than 8% of them support Obama.
Why do the Clintons hate Netanyahu, as you put it?
Well, for many reasons. I think the greatest reason is what I saw when I was with him at the National Press Club, is he gave a speech on Ronald Reagan, why he admired him. He's a moral, Bibi Netanyahu is smart, very smart. He's extremely articulate, and he has zero tolerance for terror. He's got moral clarity. The Clintons were secular humanists. They believed in a messianic kumbaya era, which became more of a mess, and Netanyahu held them accountable, and they didn't like that.
The book, of course, Atomic Iran, Countdown to Armageddon, and in the book you lay out how we got to this point, as well as how you think that there's still an opportunity, potentially without force, but possibly with force, to derail the Iranian nuclear option. First of all, let's paint the picture of the possibility of them getting it. How close are they, and what would it mean if they got it?
Well, according to the leaders that I've met with, and I've met with virtually everyone in the state of Israel, including the Atomic Energy of Israel, they will have an atomic bomb by next fall, A. B, Even worse than that, they'll have the capability of using enriched uranium as asymmetrical terror, which basically means they can put it in backpacks, they can give it to Hamas and Hezbollah terrorists, and rather than using nails and screws as a detonation, they can use enriched uranium in a lead-lined backpack and kill tens of thousands in rather than dozens.
Dr. Evans, in terms of the way that this could potentially be resolved without the final military option, what's the most realistic way of accomplishing that? So far, the diplomacy has not yielded much.
Texas tea, black gold. The Iranian government has signed $500 billion in contracts with the Chinese and Russian. They've got to pay their bills like anybody else. The only source of revenue they've got is petroleum. We can stop them with a Petroleum Enrichment Act because they don't have fuel refineries. They have to send their own fuel out of the country and has to come back. Now, the bottom line is this. The ships have to be insured. If the U.S. government puts pressure, the ships will cancel their insurance. The ships won't sail. With no petroleum, you can bankrupt Iran rather than bomb it. It's a much more realistic option to bankrupt. It happened under the Shah of Iran. Jimmy Carter, a liberal left president, supported the bankruptcy of Iran to force the Shah out and Khomeini in, and that's how we got in this mess. We can bankrupt Iran rather than bomb them.
How long would that take?
Less than 90 days.
Really?
Yeah, less than 90 days. They do not have. It will shut everything down. Screeching halt. Now, this is a JFK move. And by the way, he was a Democrat also. He stood up to the Soviets and they blinked. This is a much smaller move. Obama would be a hero. If Obama would stand up strong with moral clarity and declare an economic embargo against Iran for petroleum, stop those ships, and let them know that if you will comply, and if you don't comply, it will be very severe, they would absolutely bend and bow. Now, Obama has to do that. It's either bankrupt them or bomb them. If there's a bombing, it's going to be terrible for everybody. The state of Israel has the most to lose because they plan on wiping that nation out with asymmetrical terror. Listen, a trunk load, 10 kilotons of trunk load could kill 100,000 Israelis to 250,000. You can put that in the back of a car. More people could be killed through enriched uranium, one cargo container in the port of New York than Hiroshima and Nagasaki. You don't have to launch it. Just detonate it from the port.
We're talking with Dr. Mike Evans. The book is Atomic Iran. And Dr. Evans, do you believe that President Obama is inclined to do that? It would seem that he would be more favorable to that than the military option, but is he even willing to do that?
He's not willing to do that. The only way that he's going to do it is that the American people scream and kick and holler until he realizes they'll shut him down. If he doesn't stand up with moral clarity, they'll shut him down. He won't do it. Fundamentally, this president is Jimmy Carter on steroids. He has the same liberal left ideology that education and understanding, that this is just one big community action organization. He just needs to organize a community in the Middle East. It won't work. These people will kill you. Listen, I'm living in Texas. One Muslim nut job in Fort Hood who got away with it because the liberal left weakened the Patriot Act. And the very information that this nut job used and we knew of, we didn't divulge the stuff, so we got dead soldiers on Veterans Day. Now, what would he use enriched uranium for if he has, rather than pistols? You're darn right he would. We'll have Sirhan's roaming the streets of America with enriched uranium backpacks, blowing up Americans, saying we're Palestinians, we're killing America for its support of Israel, and they'll be funded, fueled, and financed by Iran if we don't wake up and smell the roses.
So if the U.S. is unwilling to lead on the economic pressure to be put on Iran, that basically leaves only the military option, or is there something else?
No, there's nothing else. Hey, listen, here's what's going to happen. If we sleep on our hands for another 12 months, the first non-Arab state is going nuclear, a Shia apocalyptic state. I met with Ahmadinejad. I met with his spiritual advisors. I know this nut job. He's got my last book. I gave it to him, placed it in his hands. He's completely out of his ever-loving mind. Now, the reality is this. If we don't stand them down, the moment they go nuclear, all the Gulf oil states will begin a nuclear arms race in the trillions with the Russians supplying, and we will, in fact, have Armageddon. The grandchildren of your listeners, the great-grandchildren of your listeners, are dead. We will have a nuclear arms race that will be catastrophic, apocalyptic, and this is not coming from a preacher talking. This is coming from the experts, the generals, the leaders that I met with. The world will never be the same once Iran goes nuclear. We have to stop it. The state of Israel will be forced to stop it, and they'll be in a terrible war mess. If we don't bankrupt this country, we have no options now. We've got to bankrupt them with oil, and we've got to do it quick.
If the military option is ultimately what Israel decides to use, you mentioned before it would be bad for everyone. How successful could a military strike be? There's a lot of different theories on that.
100%. I've done the former chief of staff of Israel said my last book on the subject was most detailed work on the attack, the Moshe Yaalon. The reality is this. Israel, it's a 7 to 10 day operation. If we don't bankrupt Iran, it's going to happen between the months of February and the months of June of next year. The operation is going to be three phase. First phase is going to be high altitude, ICBM, and stealth. Secondly, the targets are going to be 1,100 hard targets. They're going to take out radar. They're going to take out retaliatory targets first. The second phase of the operation, after they take out strategic retaliatory targets, because they can't let Iran strike Gulf states, close down the Gulf, or to attack our bases in Iraq, then they're going to go for the reactor's second stage and any retaliatory mechanisms tied into those reactors. It's about a 7 to 10 day operation. Israel can be extremely successful in the operation, but they'll pay a grave price. There'll be a war on the eastern and western fronts. Hezbollah and Hamas will shut down approximately a third of the country with at least 5,000 missiles. Then Iranian terrorists will be striking Jewish installations all over the world, and the Jews will pay a price for America. America will plead plausible deniability, as will the Sunni world, and Israel will spill blood in our behalf. But it's a bad situation. If Obama doesn't stand up and bankrupt this country, tiny little country that makes its money off of freaking oil, you can bankrupt it in 90 days and you don't have to bomb it.
Dr. Evans, a fascinating book. And one question before we let you go. There's been a lot of discussion about the president and his lack of public support for the people in Iran continuing to go to the streets. Many people think, of course, the regime would be emboldened in Iran if, in fact, there is a military strike. How significant is it that there hasn't been more of a public statement of support for those people?
100%. Listen, I was furious. I launched a campaign trying to convince the president to not give Ahmadinejad a privileged U.S. visa from the State Department. George Shultz convinced Ronald Reagan not to do it in 1988. I was the guy that confronted Arafat at the 43rd General Assembly in Geneva over the matter. It was simple. That's all Obama had to say. Just say no. If he said no to Ahmadinejad, his presidency would be delegitimized, and all the people in Evin prison who have suffered because they believed in democracy would have had the support of America. But Obama backed down. The little whack job backed him down. This guy in the country of Iran has killed more Americans in Iraq than Al-Qaeda could ever think of. This is Osama bin Laden on steroids. We have to stand up to this president and let him know this is very serious. For our children's sake and our grandchildren's sake, we can't sleep on this thing like Jimmy Carter did, or we're going to be in serious trouble.
Dr. Evans, unfortunately, we need to call it there. Thank you, sir, very much, as always, for your time.
You're welcome. Have a nice day.
You too. Dr. Mike Evans, the latest book, Atomic Iran, Countdown to Armageddon, How the West Can Be Saved. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.